This is Caught in the Act with Tim Clark.
Welcome back. It was supposed to be the trip of a lifetime to the pearl of WA's tourist coastline, Broome and the Kimberley, with her family and best friend. Sunlight, sand, seascapes, adventure, creating memories to look back on long into life. Instead, 12-year-old Amber Miller died, having been strapped into the back of a helicopter for what was supposed to be a joyful swoop over the iconic Cable Beach. That flight was suggested by award-winning pilot and tourism identity Troy Thomas. He was the one at the controls. He was the one who powered the Robinson R-44 Raven chopper upwards. And he was the one who couldn't control that aircraft as it plummeted from the sky on that bright blue, cruel day in July 2020.
He'd flown over Broome's spectacular sights thousands of times before, landing safely. Tonight, authorities don't know why yesterday's helicopter joyride was different. Pilot Troy Thomas and a 12-year-old passenger were killed. Two others survived but were critically hurt, leaving their families and the holiday town shattered and searching for answers.
Now, 4 years on, Troy Thomas's company, which is still owned by his widow, is being sued by Amber's parents, Clint and Fiona Benbow, whose goal now is a quest for justice for their little girl. Joining me to discuss the case of Clint and Fiona Benbow versus Avanova Proprietary Limited is Kristen Shorten, investigative journalist for The Nightly, who has covered this story relentlessly for several years. Thanks for joining us, Kristen.
No worries, Tim. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk to you, perhaps not in these circumstances, but I think this is a really good opportunity to unpack what might look like a simple and tragic helicopter crash, because as you began to witness in court this week, there's actually a lot more to this story.
And at its heart, obviously, as I've just said, is a tourism tragedy. A helicopter supposedly ready and willing to fly over Cable Beach, and instead it crashed into a searing hot industrial estate in front of several horrified families. But the background you've discovered over the years has shone a light on a sort of dark side of WA's sunny coast, really.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that word tourism, because obviously, this double fatality did occur in one of Australia's most iconic tourism destinations, and Troy Thomas was such a high-profile tourism operator in the region. As you would know, he was the poster boy for WA tourism, basically. Mm. He was an Aussie tourism ambassador. The 40-year-old was the founder of Horizontal Fall Seaplane Adventures, which is renowned, and owned 7 aircraft, including the destroyed chopper. He also had started a tourism venture up in the Northern Territory with Outback Wrangler Matt Wright. It was called Outback Float Plane Adventures. In 2017, he founded Swan River Seaplanes with 2 others, which operated scenic flights in Perth. He also purchased a luxury cruise vessel, Kimberley Quest. And before his death, attended, you know, every tourism awards gala dinner with his wife, their children, their parents and employees. His businesses had won a swag of awards at the WA Tourism Awards and the Australian Tourism Awards. But despite all of this, and Thomas being such a prominent tourism operator, a really big issue in this case is that the fatal flight was a private flight, not a commercial one. So despite running commercial tourism companies, Troy Thomas had never obtained a commercial pilot license, and at the time of the fatal crash didn't even have a private pilot license, but I think we'll get to that. Mm.
So Amber Miller wasn't even supposed to be in Broome in July 2020. It was to have been a trip to Bali. But that nasty virus that we got from China meant that overseas travel at that time was trouble. And so when her best friend Mia asked her if she wanted to come to Broome instead to stay and play, her family just couldn't say no. Amber had just started high school, but was seemingly unfazed by the shift in her education. She was loyal, quirky, hardworking, described as a born leader who served as a student counsellor and a sports captain. Netball was her sport, where she'd been selected for a Peel talent development squad. Her dream was to become a neurosurgeon, to help others. But that was for the future. The present was the gift of time with her friend, her mum Fiona, and her mum's friend Maddie, who worked as an education assistant at the Falcon Primary School where they all had met. They'd only been in town in Broome a day. The second morning was spent at the beach. And then the offer from Troy Thomas of a flight over the beautiful Broome coastline. That offer came from Mia's father, Troy, seen by many as a pioneer and leader in the WA tourism industry.
Troy Thomas was an experienced pilot. He'd flown thousands of tourists, including celebrities, in seaplanes and helicopters in WA's Kimberley region. The 40-year-old was a well-known personality around Broome and the Kimberley. He created the award-winning Horizontal Falls Seaplane Adventures 14 years ago. He'd recently sold the company, but was still working as a manager.
He was known, he was trusted, and he was in charge when his daughter Mia, her friend Amber, and their school helper Maddie all jumped into that chopper. And then he took off. Kristin, tell us what happened next.
Tim, what happened next is highly traumatic. So after their morning at the beach, they all went back to the industrial site at Billinga, which is north of Broome Airport, where Thomas kept the chopper in a shed, the destroyed helicopter VH-NBY. It's where the Thomas family also had a home and where they kept a lot of equipment for their tourism operations. And due to COVID, that industrial site had become quite crowded. So the helicopter was wheeled out of the shed into a bit of a clearing at this confined, crowded industrial site. Mia and Maddie had climbed into the chopper and Fiona was still rubbing sunscreen into Amber's back. The helicopter was powered up and Amber climbed in. She was strapped in and Fiona watched as her 12-year-old daughter got her headset on. And then Troy performed a high-power towering takeoff from that confined and crowded area. Amber's mum Fiona had turned around and started walking back to the car when she heard the loudest bang I've ever heard in my life. She said it was like a lightning bolt in her ear, a crack that she just can't erase from her memory.
And as you say, Fiona saw this, Troy Thomas's wife saw this, and her daughter Mia was in the chopper. A very good friend of Troy Thomas witnessed all this. I mean, what a nightmare that must have been. I mean, even if you look at the later ATSB report where arrows show where all the witnesses were standing, and right in the middle was where the chopper took off from and then crashed basically seconds later.
Yeah, and just metres away. It would have been deeply traumatic for everyone there, including the first responders, the police and paramedics who arrived at the scene within minutes. There were actually four witnesses at the industrial site when the helicopter took off. They were, of course, Amber's mum Fiona, as you mentioned, Troy's wife Sophie, his widow, Bryce McGlashan, a pilot, Troy Thomas's right-hand man. Bryce was the operations manager for Horizontal Seaplane Adventures, and another of the Thomas's employees was there. And within 2.7 seconds of taking off, that chopper had broken up midair, climbed 75 feet into the sky and started spinning violently before crashing into that, you know, scorching hot bitumen below. Fiona said she turned around to see the helicopter just spiraling out of control, coming down heavily on Amber's side. It's devastating detail. She said she saw her daughter's face as the chopper spun around twice full circle and then hit the ground really hard and struck the road predominantly on the right side where Amber was sitting.
And reading some of the coverage of that time preparing for today, there were even sort of normal tourists sort of just up the road at a local watering hole who sort of caught the visage of the helicopter, heard the bang, and, you know, when they were interviewed days later, I mean, they had tears in their eyes as well. So not only was this a deeply intimate family tragedy, but it impacted all of Broome almost immediately.
Yeah, Tim, Broome is a tiny place comparatively, and Troy was a local legend there. He was very well known, very well loved by a lot of people, and a lot of locals and tourists were just in shock.
After the impact of that helicopter came the impact of the tragedy. Two dead, two more seriously injured, a shell-shocked town, an industry in mourning, and two devastated families. Amber's parents were plunged into a nightmare, out of which they are never likely to fully emerge. The loss of her has devastated anyone that ever knew her, they said in their initial statement. The effects of this tragic accident are far-reaching, and Clint and Fiona have Mia in their prayers and wish for a full and speedy recovery. And tributes also flowed for Mr. Thomas from loved ones, colleagues, industry contemporaries and friends. Even the state government paid tribute to the legacy of his tourism businesses. One of those friends wistfully recalled some of his flight paths. "I'd turn up on this little, tiny little boat," she recalled. "He'd land on that tiny little boat in the middle of nowhere. Then he'd go over and take us to this little cliff face and land on this tiny little rock." And of course, an official investigation was launched by the Australian Transport Safety Bureau.
Investigators today arriving in Broome now trying to figure out why it happened.
Around about 3 nautical miles north of Broome Airport, and observed the aircraft to climb above the treetops when the aircraft appeared to enter a spin.
The specialist team today examined the wreck of the Robinson R44 chopper and will analyse maintenance records and weather conditions to figure out if it could have been prevented.
Within a week, the ATSB had made some initial findings. Christine, while they provided those early answers as to what had happened, the initial assessment didn't really get to the why.
No, it didn't. So almost immediately, the ATSB discovered some really troubling information about the lead up to the crash, and just 6 days after the crash provided its first official update, indicating that based on CCTV footage of the crash and an examination of the wreckage, it had determined that the helicopter broke up midair and fell to the ground out of control. It said that while at that stage the reasons for the in-flight breakup were not known, alarmingly, both Thomas and another pilot, who we ultimately learnt was Bryce McGlashan, had felt unusual vibrations through the tail rotor pedals when they had flown the chopper in the days and weeks before the fatal crash. They described it as if it was repetitively tapping through the pedals with spoons. So the ATSB was quick to remind pilots and the aviation industry that a change in the sound or vibration of the helicopter may indicate an impending failure of a critical component. They said that if there's any unusual sound or vibration in flight, make a safe landing and have the aircraft thoroughly inspected before flight is resumed. Make sure a check flight's performed and it's re-inspected again before resuming free flight.
And Christine, so in a place like Broome, where obviously it's small, as you said, everyone knows everyone else, and tourism is king, and the operators then become sort of local celebrities as well as business leaders, this initial report must have been, you know, sent up immediate red flags to, you know, an industry that had held Mr. Thomas up as a leader, as a pioneer.
Yeah, Tim. That's right. Like we said before, Broome is a tiny place, and Troy Thomas knew a lot of people. He had a wide business network and a lot of high-profile celebrity mates as well. People really were in shock. But for some people who knew Troy Thomas and his operations, the crash didn't come as a shock. It might have actually seemed like an accident waiting to happen.
A month after that tragedy, Sophie Thomas, Troy Thomas's widow, paid a touching tribute to her husband, saying his legacy would live on in the Kimberley, as would his businesses. And she also said that it was remarkable that anyone had survived the crash due to the efforts of everyone present, including Troy. However, in September 2020, when the preliminary ATSB report into the disaster was made public, the narrative shifted.
Troy Thomas's helicopter was looked over by maintenance crews just one day before this deadly disaster. It's been 6 days since the Robinson R44 fell out of the sky, taking with it the lives of the 40-year-old tourism pioneer and 12-year-old family friend Amber. Today, the first indication from investigators as to what went wrong.
The tail rotor and the tail rotor gearbox separated from the main fuselage prior to impact.
Initial reports revealed two pilots recorded feeling unusual vibrations through the pedals 2 days before the crash. One of those pilots was Troy Thomas. On the Friday, maintenance crews couldn't detect any vibrations on the ground.
According to those engineers, those maintenance crew that did those tests, they also told Troy Thomas he needed to do another in-flight check before he took that chopper anywhere else or flew anyone else in it. Instead, Amber, Miller, Mia Thomas and Maddie Down were in that helicopter just a day later as it climbed into that blue sky. As Christine said, Amber's mother, Fiona, always remembers the noise, like a lightning bolt in my ear, she said, a crack. And then, less than 3 seconds later, the helicopter twisting right and plunging down, landing on the side where her daughter was sitting. In that moment, Fiona Benbow went from mother to first responder. She ignored the fuel spilling from the wreckage. She peeled back the metal between her and her little girl. She used a knife to cut the harness. She used the adrenaline running through her to carry her injured daughter off the scorching tarmac into the shade of a nearby tree. And then she tried to save her life. But she couldn't. Christine, the final ATSB report took 3 years to complete. But when it was finally released, it revealed a shocking set of circumstances.
That's right, Tim. It took them 3 years to painstakingly piece together what happened in the lead up to that double fatality. And to say its findings were damning would be an understatement. Yeah. It found Thomas had a high risk appetite, a history of non-compliance with aviation laws, was unlicensed to fly the chopper that day, and that he knew there was a serious issue with the Robinson R44 Raven 1 when he took it up that morning. The ATSB found that despite the maintenance engineers telling Troy Thomas that a check flight needed to be performed before that helicopter was flown again, the next final flight involved the conduct of a high power towering takeoff from a confined area with three passengers on board. The ATSB noted there was also evidence that Thomas was willing to take and expose others to elevated risk. They said that he demonstrated acts of non-compliance with multiple aviation safety regulations and that NBY had been operated in a manner that increased the risk of damage or stress to the helicopter on multiple occasions.
And that, you've just mentioned that confined area, Christine. That area was actually so confined that the engineers that had seen the helicopter the previous day didn't want to take off from there because they were worried that things on the ground might damage the helicopter or might damage surrounding areas. It was overcrowded or a little bit more crowded because people were storing things there during COVID. And yet the ATSB found and, in fact, studied very, very carefully the CCTV that showed this high-powered helicopter, you know, roaring from the ground with all these buildings and other people around. And then, you know, seconds later, breaking up in midair. And I think some of the findings said that it was you know, miraculous that they didn't land on a building or something else and possibly cause even more injury.
Yeah, that's right, Tim. So when Troy Thomas called the aircraft maintenance engineers on July 2, so a couple of days before the crash, arrangements were actually made to have the helicopter taken to their facility, which is sort of more in it's an open space, a clear area where they could have performed that flight check safely. And as you mentioned, the fatal flight did involve a high-powered vertical takeoff, which is a very dangerous type of takeoff. And helicopters, while I'm not a pilot, just from my work in this area, you know, I've learned that helicopters are supposed to sort of take off in a forward motion rather than a direct upward motion. So, you know, the helicopter should have been inspected at the aircraft maintenance engineer's property, but instead, for some reason, it wasn't taken out there. And at the last minute, the engineers were asked to come and inspect it at the industrial site, where it was such a confined space. They could only do a ground inspection. They did everything they could there at the site, but they were just not willing, for safety reasons, to perform that check flight themselves there at the industrial site. There are phone records that show that that afternoon, after performing that inspection, they did phone Troy Thomas. The aircraft engineers have told the ATSB that they told Thomas on July 3, the day before the crash, that a check flight needs to be performed before it takes up passengers again. Mm. Now, that is in dispute, whether that was actually conveyed or communicated in those phone calls, but that's certainly what the aircraft engineers have told the ATSB. The next day, despite multiple people knowing that there was an issue with this helicopter, that it had been experiencing these vibrations through the tail rotor pedals, Troy Thomas decided to take passengers up on that final fatal flight.
Risk appetite. That's an interesting phrase that Kristin's just used. And that was how the ATSB phrased what they started looking for. What was Troy Thomas's risk appetite when he was in the air or planning to get up in the air? And what they found, they said, was readily found and alarming. Exceedance of maximum passengers, carriage of unrestrained passengers, external carriage of passengers, landing in uncontrolled public spaces, unapproved low flying with passengers, seen by others, reported by others, putting himself and others at significant risk. And there were other impacts as well in other helicopters, which had not been reported at all. A tail rotor strike in Broome in September 2016. A tail rotor strike at Horizontal Falls in August 2017. In August 2019, a bird strike with a big bird on the same Robinson R-44 helicopter, which crashed less than a year later. No mention of a subsequent inspection after that impact, no logbook recording. And in March 2020, just 3 months before Amber Miller died, the same chopper veered out of control as it landed on the Kimberley Quest 2 cruise ship. The conclusion of the ATSB's investigation, as Kristin said, was damning. The pilot conducted a towering high-power takeoff in VH-NBY from a confined area with three passengers on board. The unnecessary carriage of passengers resulted in a significantly more severe outcome following the in-flight breakup, it said. The pilot did not apply the pilot's operating handbook procedure for responding to a tail rotor emergency. Prompt application of the procedure would have reduced the likelihood of loss of control. The pilot did not have a valid flight review for the R-44 helicopter type or a current medical certificate. The owner of VH-NBY demonstrated acts of non-compliance with multiple aviation safety regulations. There was a history of unreported accidents and incidents with the registered operator of VH-NBY's aircraft in both commercial and private operations. The reaction to this report of Amber's mum and dad was understandable. Grief and anger.
I revisit the scene a lot.
Yeah.
And it wakes me up a lot. My rights as Amber's mother were absolutely stripped away from me that day.
More than one person took a shortcut on that day.
Kristin, you've spoken with Fiona and Clint many times. And the words parents' worst nightmare have also used many times in many situations. But this case and that phrase are, you know, pretty closely and tragically matched.
That's right. And I will just point out that Sophie Thomas also witnessed her daughter be critically injured in this chopper crash. But yep. If I can just focus on the Benbows, they've lost their only child in what we now know was an entirely preventable accident. And Fiona witnessed her daughter's horrific, traumatic death. So their loss is indescribable and their grief is unimaginable and probably insurmountable. They lost their whole world that day. And I don't think that's a loss they'll ever recover from.
And during your reporting on this 2020 crash, you have subsequently dug up details of another incident in 2019, which left more carnage behind and also more questions about Troy Thomas's, flying capabilities.
Yeah, that's right. So when the ATSB began investigating the fatal Broome crash, they became aware that there had actually been six unreported accidents and incidents in the 4 years prior to the crash, involving one where there was a total loss of the helicopter and resulted in serious injury. So that crash was one that occurred at Raft Point, again off the northwest WA coast, just less than 12 months before this double fatality. And it was an incident in which Troy Thomas was the pilot, Bryce McGlashan, a passenger, and there was a female passenger sitting behind Troy, a 20-year-old woman named Chelsea Cortez. Mm. Now, they were sitting in the helicopter on top of one of Troy Thomas's vessels, a catamaran called High Caliber. It was at Raft Point, like I said, off the WA coast. And as Troy Thomas began to take off in this helicopter, it crashed into the side of the boat and sank. Miraculously, the three people on board escaped. Chelsea Cortez almost drowned. Bryce McGlashan almost broke his back. He suffered severe spinal injuries. And Troy Thomas suffered severe bruising from his seatbelt. They all made it to the surface. However, what followed after was a kind of panic set in because Troy Thomas wanted to cover up this crash. He didn't want anyone to know about it because he, from what I understand, didn't want it to derail the sale of his tourism operations, Horizontal Fall Seaplane Adventures, which was in the final stages of being finalised. He was selling the business to tourism giant Journey Beyond. He didn't want anyone to know about this crash. So while the helicopter sank and was destroyed, he quickly did an insurance claim on that, but he did not inform any of the authorities about this immediately reportable incident. It may have never come to light had the fatal Broome crash had have happened. From what I understand, WA police found photos of this earlier crash on Troy Thomas's phone after his death. The ATSB got wind of it. They started investigating, but my understanding is, you know, information about this crash wasn't forthcoming from those who had knowledge of it. And, you know, those lines of inquiries were quite difficult. So, but what has since happened is that female passenger on board that helicopter, which was also destroyed, it was VHZGY, another Robinson. She has now launched civil proceedings against Troy Thomas's company, Avanova. So after his death, she decided to launch these civil proceedings against his company, Avanova, which is now directed by his widow, Sophie Thomas. And that matter is expected to proceed to trial in the Perth District Court later this year.
Mm. And so we now have a formal court procedure about that 2019 crash, where, I mean, all those allegations that have been, you know, they were placed in the ATSB report. They were also placed in other documentation that you found through Freedom of Information. So the facts were there, but the fact that Troy Thomas didn't report it has also been basically proved by the ATSB, because they put it as a supplementary addendum into the report about the 2020 crash, which killed Amber Miller and Troy Thomas himself.
That's right. I've also discovered a series of other incidents. I mean, through Freedom of Information, I've found out that CASA had also received 5 written complaints accompanied by photo and video evidence in 2018 of unsafe behaviour involving aircraft badged Horizontal Fall Seaplane Adventures. One of those videos that was sent into CASA by a complainant clearly shows Troy Thomas landing his helicopter on Cockatoo Island. You know, there's other things that have also been unearthed in recent months, including that Troy Thomas actually did not have permission to take off in a helicopter from that industrial site. Documents obtained through Broomshire Council under Freedom of Information have revealed that that industrial site was only registered or zoned as a private warehouse and residential premises, not as a helicopter landing site. Another disturbing thing which has come to light is People have come forward to me in recent months saying that they were medevaced by Troy Thomas. Now, Troy Thomas was not a commercial pilot. He did not have authorization or a license to perform medical evacuations, but I've interviewed one woman who was airlifted by Troy Thomas off a boat and charged thousands of dollars for it. I've got the invoice. And that is something that he was never authorised or licensed to do. So, you know, the 2019 crash involving Chelsea Cortez and that civil matter, as well as these other incidents, they paint a picture and they represent an attitude of compliance and a pattern of behaviour that the Bembos have begged the WA coroner to explore.
That's right. The Bembos had asked for an inquest, which had been backed by Premier Roger Cook. But last November, the WA coroner's office told the Bembo family they wouldn't be getting that inquest. Michael Jenkin concluded that Amber's death had already been investigated in detail, and he, from those investigations, could conclude that she died by way of accident without the need for any public hearing. Last December, Kristin revealed that Avanova, Troy Thomas's company, was being sued over that 2019 crash, which left one woman injured and swimming in crocodile-infested waters. And this week, myself and Kristin broke the story that Amber's parents are also now suing Mr. Thomas's company, his business associate and friend, Bryce McLashan, and the maintenance firm which looked at that faulty chopper the day before it crashed. That lawsuit claims that negligence over the control and operation of the aircraft, the maintenance, the testing of, and the training of Troy Thomas has caused them psychiatric injury worthy of damages. Leading the case for them will be Rightside Legal and barrister Tim Hammond, who some Caught in the Act listeners will remember were the team who successfully sued tainted AFL legend Barry Cable last year. And the Bembos case took its first steps this week, with the interesting revelation that Avanova want their own expert to look at the helicopter wreckage before they put forward their defence. Kristin, it's always a big step for any family to place themselves into the justice system, particularly in such tragic circumstances. But I get the feeling that this family, the Bembo family, feel it's their only path now remaining to get some sort of justice.
That's right. Unfortunately, and quite shockingly, that seems to be the case. What they really wanted was a coronial inquest. I mean, the Australian Transport Safety Bureau investigators, they performed that painstaking investigation. Like you said, it took almost 3 years to complete. And what they found was shocking, but still no one has been held accountable for Amber's death. The WA police, they conducted a thorough coronial investigation and provided their report to the coroner last year. But as you mentioned, the WA coroner has declined to hold an inquest. Coroner Michael Jenkin told Amber's parents he didn't believe it would generate any additional evidence. The Bembos had also urged WorkSafe to conduct an investigation, but they declined, saying that their three-year statute of limitations has now expired. The Civil Aviation Safety Authority has also, not to our knowledge, taken any enforcement action against anyone involved in the fatal crash or any of the previous incidents involving Avanova's fleet. So, you know, the Bembos believe multiple parties have played a role in their daughter's death. They believe Troy's ultimately responsible, but, you know, other people also had a part to play, including, as you mentioned, the other parties to the civil litigation. They believe the maintenance engineers, pilot Bryce McLashan, who first felt the serious vibration, and others who they feel were involved in, you know, cover-ups of previous incidents and accidents are also responsible. So that is the reason that they've launched these civil proceedings. And as you said, it's just their quest to achieve some justice for their family, get answers, and hold those involved and responsible accountable.
I spoke to Fiona this week after having sat in court and listened to the case sort of get off the ground, and that's exactly the impression I got from her, is that she is not going to go away. She doesn't want to go away because she feels that she is now the only voice that Amber has, and and this is the only avenue that she has, which is incredible when you sort of strip it back. You have a helicopter fall out of the sky and kill two people. And then detailed investigations show, you know, all the apparent shortcomings that were behind that crash. And yet their only avenue, they feel now, is to launch their own sort of civil suit, which is going to cost them so much emotionally and probably financially as well. But that was it. And that was where they got to this week. So, yeah, we'll follow it as closely as we possibly can, obviously, and an update Caught in the Act listeners as it goes along. So, Kristin, thanks for joining us on Caught in the Act today, mate.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
You can keep up with all Kristin's award-winning work on The Nightly, which is published every evening, so you can get in front of tomorrow's news tonight. And thanks for you all for joining us again. Please don't hesitate to get in touch with us by writing to caughtintheact@wanews.com.au. Don't forget to like and subscribe and tell your friends, family, colleagues and co-accused all about us. And remember, if you want to know what's going on in court, don't get caught short. Get caught in the act instead. See you next week.